Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the global financial crisis right after this. Well, Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock made in Japan for 6 a.m. While his coffee pot made in Japan is perking and puts his blow dryer made in Taiwan to work and shaves with his electric razor made in Hong Kong. He puts on a dress shirt made in Taiwan. His designer jeans are made in Singapore, and a pair of tennis shoes made in Korea. After cooking up some breakfast on his new electric skillet made in the Philippines, Joe sits down to figure out on his calculator made in Mexico how much he can spend today. Then after setting his watch made in Switzerland to the radio made in Hong Kong, he goes out and gets in his car made in Germany and goes looking, as he has now for many months, for a good-paying American job. Then, at the end of another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decides to relax for a while. So he puts on a pair of sandals made in Brazil, pours himself a glass of wine made in France, turns on his TV, made in Japan, and then ponders again why it is that he can't find a good-paying American job. Well, instead of a good-paying American job, why doesn't Joe look for a good-paying American private business dealing in property instead of income? Now, if you'd like to tap into this power of private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's very informative, very entertaining, very educational, and it's very free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org, and go to the archives page, download it. Now, we've been talking about the global financial crisis. In the last program, I brought to your attention that we're not getting all of the information that we need in order to make intelligent and rational decisions. So I suggested one of the international publications, one of the underground newsletters called The Privateer. Now, there's another dimension to this problem of information, and that is some of this information that we should have gotten from the Bible we didn't get. We went to church. We went to Sunday school. Mom and Dad raised us up to be hardworking, studious, industrious students. But some very vital information that we needed concerning a contract that we're involved in, and now the contract has gone into default. You and I, we Americans and Englishmen, Canadians, Australians, all of us Israelite people, you know, you people that live in France, Germany, Switzerland, Belgium, Luxembourg, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, Iceland, Greenland, Scandinavian countries, that's Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland. All right, now there's 12 of us, 12 families, 12 nations. We don't need to be concerned about Asher anymore. He's already been taken into captivity. The tribe of Asher lived in South Africa and Rhodesia. That's the white Anglo-Saxons down there, totally submerged in black Africa, wiped right off the face of the earth. Well, they're not all dead yet, but their economy is dead. Their societies are dead. Now, there's a reason for that. And you Australians and Canadians and you Europeans and we here in America are about to embark upon a great punishment. There's an ass-kicking coming, and we should know about this in advance so that we can take some kind of intelligent action to avert it. Nobody's ringing the bell. Nobody's telling you that there's a problem. Well, we can look it up. If somebody points us in the right direction, the information's there. But as Buckler pointed out, and I showed you last time, we're not getting all of the information that we need. We're absorbing the news, but we're unable to delineate what it means. So let's see if we can't do that. Now, years ago, 84 generations back, we had a contract that came up. It was a contract negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai. And for you Bible students, this thing is called the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant. And it was a contract that was made by God, the creator of the universe now. And he made up a contract, and he said, now here's what I want you guys to do. And I want you to practice my law. And if you do that, I'm going to give you these benefits. Now, this information is recorded. It's in the contract book. It's in the contract. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. And it goes all through chapter 20, 21, 22, 23, and it ends at Exodus 24, verse 8. So God comes down to these Israelites, about 3.5 million of them. They're sitting out here in the desert. Now, they just came out of Egypt. And he pitches him a deal. This is called in law a tender offer. And he said, hey, hey, you guys, wake up here. Smell the coffee this morning. I'm going to give you these 33 articulable benefits. And he did. He listed them off. And he said, here's what I'm going to do for you. And then in payment for that, reciprocity for that, I want you to obey me and keep my commandments. I've got this law here, and I want you to be my people. I want to be a king. And I want to have some subjects. I've got some land in mind over here. We're going to go take this land. And we're going to have a kingdom. We're going to have a king, and I'm going to be the king. We're going to have subjects. You're going to be the subjects. We're going to have some land. We're going to go take that away from the people that have got it. And then we're going to have some laws. And I want to explain these laws to you right now before we go take this land and set up our kingdom. And so from the top of Mount Sinai, he wrote up these things called the Ten Commandments. He engraved those on stone, and then he wrote up some parchment. And he had 749 statutes, judgments, and commandments on that. So there's 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, here's what the people said. Now, this is your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, 84 generations back. And your great-granddaddy, he took the Book of the Covenant, and he read it in the audience of the people, and the people said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. So your great-granddaddy said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. He subscribed to the terms and conditions. And Moses took the blood, and he sprinkled it on the people, and he said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Eternal has made with you concerning all these words. All these words. So this is called the Old Covenant. Now, next Sunday when you go to church, just ask your preacher, hey, preacher, can you tell me where the Old Covenant's located in the Bible? And I'll just bet you two bits to donut that he can't do it. He doesn't have a clue. He's trained in religion. He hasn't got a clue as to what the law provides for. This is a law. That's what a contract is. It's a law. It's an agreement. Now, some time went by, and pretty soon God, the Creator over here, he said, now listen, if you people out here don't practice this law, if you people default on the contract, let me write in a penal clause to the contract. That's located in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So you want to write that down right now. Katie Couric and Brian Williams, they don't know about this. And if they know, they ain't telling. I don't think Jim Lehrer's ever heard this story before. So it's located here in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Now, the first 14 verses of these two chapters reiterate the terms and conditions of the benefits that we receive under the terms of this contract. And these benefits are pretty good. They're not bad benefits at all. If you went to work for General Motors and General Motors said, I'm going to give you these benefits, let me give you an illustration as to what you'd be entitled to. General Motors would say to you, it'll come to pass if you work hard and you're diligent and you obey the voice of your supervisor here at General Motors, and you observe to do all of the commandments, all of the policies that are commanded and that are imposed upon you this day as you become a new employee of General Motors, that General Motors will set you on high above all the automakers in Detroit. And all of these blessings shall come upon you and shall overtake you if you will hearken unto the voice of General Motors. And, you know, just picture this. You're getting a new job over here, and you want to know what your benefit package is. Well, here's the Creator of the universe, and he says, okay, here's the benefit package, the bennies. And he said, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and store, your bank accounts, your promotions. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Then General Motors will cause your enemies that rise up against you at Ford and Chrysler to be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And General Motors will command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in everything that you set your hand unto do. You'll have a nice house in the suburbs. You'll have plenty of food in the pantry. He'll bless you in the land where the company General Motors exists and which it gives you. And General Motors will establish you as an employee unto itself, as General Motors has sworn unto you. If you will keep the commandments of General Motors, if you will practice the laws of General Motors and the policies of General Motors and walk in all the ways of General Motors, you know, this is what God promised. He said, hey, I'll give you all these benefits and all these blessings. Now, most people, you know, if they had a chance to go to work for Microsoft, General Motors, or IBM or somebody, you know, God, they'd just be tickled to death. You know, when people get a job at the CIA or the FBI, you know, that's a lifetime job, and they swear an oath that they will be loyal to the United States. They swear an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. You know that? You join the Army, and you swear an oath to uphold the laws, you know, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the Constitution of the United States, and that you're going to do everything that you're told to do. Well, long ago, your great-great-great-granddaddy did that, and he received these benefits, and these benefits inure to the heirs and assigns forever. It's a legal term. I don't deny that, but it's just a legal term. Now, God had eternal life, and your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, 84 generations back, he didn't, and he died. So a legal question devolved, and that was, well, what happens to all of these toys that great-great-granddaddy amassed to himself? And the answer is, it passes on to his heirs and assigns forever. Heirs and assigns. All right, so you and I today are heirs and assigns of this contract. We, the people of the United States and Great Britain, we're the people that eat at the top of the food chain. The average person in the world today lives on less than $5 a day, certainly less than $9 a day. Here in the United States, minimum wage is over $7 an hour. $7 an hour. That's for all you people over there, Pakistan and Bangladesh, you know. You people are living on $2, $3, $4, $5 a day. Here in the United States, you got to pay $7 an hour. Hell, we make more an hour here than you people do a day. All right, now, the reason that we got that is because we practiced all of the laws, all the rules, all the regulations set down by God. Well, you know, didn't do them all, but we did a bunch of them. And we got these benefits. Now, that's the good news. All right, now there's some bad news that goes along with this. You get over here to verse 14. As a part of the contract. In fact, it's in verse 15. He says, now, it'll come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all of his commandments, and all of his statutes which I command you this day, and then all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Hey, you're going to get fired, and we're going to take your company house away from you, and we're going to take your pension and your benefits away. We're going to take your health care policy back. Now, people who are working for the FBI and the CIA, they know that if they violate the policies, the rules, the regulations, I mean, anybody that's out there has got half a brain working out here in the private sector, for crying out loud, you know that if you don't follow the rules and the regulations, the policies of the company, you're going to get terminated. You're going to lose your company house. You're going to lose your company car. You're going to lose your company this benefit and that benefit and something else. And so you're pretty damn careful to make sure that you obey all the rules and regulations of the company. Well, unfortunately, boys and girls, your preacher didn't impress upon you, your mom and dad didn't impress upon you the seriousness of this contract. And as a result of that, you're not practicing this contract. So this global financial crisis that the world is involved in today is a direct result of the violation of the terms and conditions of this whole contract. So I just thought that I'd point that out to you. Now I'm going to give you some of the terms and conditions of the contract, and then I'm going to pick up another document here, and I'm going to tell you, well, here's what happened. Let me show you that as a result of the violation of this contract, here's what's coming down on us. Now, that's the bad news. Now, the good news is you can come back into compliance with the contract, and you can preserve all of your benefits. You can preserve your job and benefits. It's a choice that you have to make, and you're going to make it. And you don't have to listen to me. I'm not here to persuade you or to get you to do this or that or give your heart to Jesus or anything like that. You don't have to come down the sawdust trail and do jack diddly squat. But you're going to have to come back into compliance with the terms and conditions with this contract, just like I do, you do, and my Aunt Bessie, and my granny, and my dad, and Uncle Buster. All of us have to come back into compliance with it. And that includes you Chinese, and Japanese, and Brazilians, and everybody else. Now, if you don't, and you don't have to, nobody's going to beat you over the head or whip you or do jack diddly squat. But if you don't, then here's what's going to happen to you. Here's what's coming down. He starts off in verse 16. He says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. And cursed shall be your basket and your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Okay, we're talking about we're going to have birth defects. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Cursed shall be your basket and store. The surpluses that you used to have, the grain you had in your silos and the surplus food. Now, America, wake up. 50% of all the food that you're eating now, 50%, comes from outside our borders. No, that's probably pretty true for you people in England and France, too, you know. You just had a volcano go off in Iceland, and did you see what happened to your supply of asparagus and fresh fruits and vegetables when they couldn't be flown in from Kenya and Zambia and Uganda? You know, our tomatoes come from Hermosillo, Mexico, but you people in Amsterdam, your tomatoes come from Zambia. Now, wake up. So your basket and your store is going to be cursed, and your agricultural production is going to be cursed. Your body is going to be cursed. You're going to have birth defects. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal, this is God, the Creator, will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in everything that you set your hand unto, for to do, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. You have breached the contract. Now, you do that now, and there's an ass kicking coming. So, as a reporter, I'm just here to give you the report. Brian Williams, Katie Couric, and Jim Lehrer have not given you this report, so I'm going to do it. Here it is. Now, the Eternal shall make the pestilence cleave unto you. Pestilence, that's disease, like cancer, heart attack, rheumatism, arthritis, stroke, muscular dystrophy, Alzheimer's disease, AIDS, herpes, VD. Here in the United States, just to give you an illustration, if you're between the ages of 12 and 24, 25% of you have a sexually transmitted disease. That's because you're in violation of thou shalt not commit adultery and don't practice, there's a word here for the let me mull this one over a little bit. Premarital sex. There's a word for that, and I'll think of it here in a second. Don't go out here and lay the neighbor girl in the back of your Chevy van. Now, I know that's a lot of fun, and I know it's very enjoyable, and you're just having a great time doing that, but the big boss said he didn't want you doing that. And he said, now, if you do that, I'm going to can you and take all of your benefits away from you. And I don't think anybody has ever communicated that to you before. Or at least if they had, then you hadn't been paying attention. So as a result of that, this global financial crisis is just the pimple on the elephant's trunk for what's coming down the pike. I mean, we haven't gotten into it hot and heavy yet, but boy, it's coming down now. It's coming down on us. Now get these two chapters down, because I'm not going to read all of this to you. Now, this isn't story time from Dr. Seuss or Little Georgie. This is Aztecan time, and I'm going to tell you it's in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Okay, two chapters. The first 14 or 15 verses of these two chapters tell you here's what I'm going to give you if you pay attention, do what you're told, and the balance of it tells you here's what I'm going to do to you. And what's going to be done to us is what we see going on around us right now. So I started off by giving you a little flavor of it. Here's a little bit more, just to make you really feel good about it. He says here, starting in verse 53, he says, you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Eternal your God has given you, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. Now we're talking about cannibalism here. We're talking about famine to an extreme that it produces cannibalism. Now I know you're sitting there saying, well, my God, I would never eat my own kid. Oh yeah, you would. And you will. The Apostle Peter, when he was talking to Jesus one day, he said, I will never deny you. And Jesus said, son, before sunrise, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And right after Peter had denied the Messiah the third time, the cock crowed. You know, Peter was a brash fellow. He meant well. You know, he was on the team, and he was a team player. But his mouth got to running away with him every once in a while. Now, we've been told to learn from these examples. You know, so now that I saw Peter running off at the mouth, I try to keep mine shut a little more often. And instead of telling everybody, well, I'm saved, and once saved, always saved, and I'm going to be raptured off and saved from all this, and the rest of you dumb horses, patooties, are going into the lake of fire, or you're going into the tribulation, you know, I'm sitting off on the sideline saying, you know, I'm probably earmarked for all of that, just like you guys, and I'm probably going to get my ass kicked just like everybody else. But I have high hopes that maybe, it'll be a little bit less. Maybe I won't get quite as hard a whipping. My old dad, you know, he used to have three grades of whipping. There was a real one, then there was an intermediate one, then there was the light one. And he'd tell me that. He'd say, no, I just gave you a light one this time. That's a light one. Now, you do that again, and then I could remember a couple of those heavy ones, and then I could make a better choice, you know, in life. I'd say, hey, do you want to try this stunt again, you know, and risk getting a heavy whipping, heavy duty, a real one? All right, now, when it comes to this cannibalism over here, we got food shortages. Now, I just mentioned to you a minute ago, I said, now, 50% of your food is coming in from overseas. Now, we produce a lot of food here in the United States. I don't deny that. We got 300 million people here, and we produce a bunch. But half of it now, half the milk, meat, butter, and eggs and stuff, you know, your tomatoes are coming from Mexico, your berries from Guatemala, your grapes from Chile, your kiwis from New Zealand, and they're bringing them in here on 747s, and God love them, the supermarkets have them there. I went into the supermarket yesterday, and I bought 20 pomegranates. I'm telling you, Solomon himself wasn't eating pomegranates like I do. I bought 20 pomegranates. I kind of like them, and they're in season right now. But I can guarantee you, they didn't come from Missouri. If anywhere, they came from California, and like as not, they came from Israel or New Zealand or Australia or someplace. I don't know, someplace in the world. Flew them in on a 747. There we have. And I noticed in the store there was blackberries and raspberries and kiwis. I mean, my God, they've got stuff. They got bananas. We don't produce bananas here in Missouri. Those bananas come from someplace, you know, south of the border. Now, you start adding up all that stuff, boys and girls. Half of everything you're putting in your mouth comes from outside your borders. You're in a global financial crisis. The world's monetary system is melting down. And when it completes the process, there aren't going to be any bananas and there aren't going to be any pomegranates. All right, so now I'm going to show you why here in just a minute, but I wanted to bring your attention to this chapter 28. And it goes on to say, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. Hey, doesn't that sound like a Hollywood starlet? You know, one of these sluts, you know, from the centerfold in Playboy or Hustler. you know, really delicate girl. You know, she's wearing a bikini or something, if she's wearing anything, wearing a bikini, and she wouldn't venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness. I like the way God puts it. Then he says, and toward the young one that comes out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, because she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straighten it, wherewith your enemy shall distress you in your gates. If, now here's why, if you will not observe to do all the words of this law, which are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Eternal your God. When you read that, you know, a lot of people, you know, they get ticked off at you, especially religious people, and they get bummed out. I didn't write that. Don't get mad at me now and write me an email and tell me what a jerk I am and how I'm going to burn in hellfire. I'm just a reporter. Nothing more, nothing less. But now that I've reported that to you, I reported it. Now you know. Now that's the tip of the iceberg. There's more. And it's worse. How much worse can you get than secretly taking your little children and killing them and eating them in secret? Oh, there's stuff in here even worse than that. That's not mild. That's heavy duty. I'll concede that. But there's even worse things talked about. Now, that I've told you where it was. Remember, that's Leviticus chapter 26, whole chapter, Leviticus 26. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Get those two down now. And then with that much under your belt, I'm going to read you an article here that came in, which is called Some Changes Are Coming. We got changes coming. You know, the Chinese over there are shipping to us about $60 billion a month. $60 billion a month. And they're not getting paid for that stuff. They're shipping us big screen TVs and television sets and shoes and clothes and cars and all kinds of stuff are coming from China. And we Americans are buying them. We buy them on our credit cards and so on. But the Chinese aren't getting big screen TVs from America. They're not getting Dell computers. And they're not getting Caterpillar tractors in return for their big screen TVs and their shoes. What they're getting is treasury paper, debt paper. They're getting municipal bonds. They're getting pieces of paper that say, we'll pay you someday, that bear interest. And they're in hopes. You know, they've got about $3 or $4 trillion worth of this paper now piled up in their safe deposit box. And someday they hope that they can exchange those IOUs for usable goods that we Americans make, Caterpillar tractors and Dell computers. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but we Americans over here have been exporting our manufacturing jobs to China and Hong Kong and Formosa and Japan and every place else, and we're unable to pay off. Now, if they want to come over and get supersized at McDonald's, now that we can handle. As long as somebody sends us the meat from Australia and the pickles from Mexico and the tomatoes from Hermosillo, Mexico, and so on, we can make them a Big Mac and supersize them. But other than that, what's being produced here in the United States is in deficit. We're not producing enough to pay our way. And there's an end to that coming. It's called unsustainable. Unsustainable. What that means is that you can spend on your credit card until you max it out. And, you know, when you've got a $10,000 limit on your credit card, and you're spending $500 a month on your credit card and you're paying $200. You spend five and you pay two. You spend five and you pay two. That is unsustainable, and you're going to reach the $10,000 limit, and then it's going to shut off. And then if you're dependent upon that credit card, you know, to pay the rent and all those things, then all of a sudden you're going to be without the ability to pay your rent, without the ability to pay your car payment and so on, and then you're going to have your car taken away, your apartment taken away, your benefits are lost. And see where we're going? All right, now get ready for this, because some changes are coming here to America, Australia, Great Britain. Indeed, it's coming to China and Formosa and Japan and North Korea and so on. It's coming to everybody, and it's not going to be pretty. But we need to know what it is, and we need to prepare for it so that it doesn't affect us quite as bad as it is the guy next door. Now, I'm at the halfway point here, so let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Got that? Go to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. It's free of charge, and you can download it and save yourself a lot of time, effort, and energy, and me the postage. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Now, keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing some newsletters this week, the Global Financial Crisis. And I showed you the Privateer yesterday. And the day before that, we took a look at some very bizarre statistics that affect our economy. Now, some changes are coming as a result of all of this. Changes that some of them probably good. You might sit there and say, well, I'd like to do that. I'd like to see that change come. But some of these changes aren't going to be very pleasant. So let's take a look at what's coming down the pike here. Now, today, we're in a nation in crisis. And like it or not, some changes are coming. So whether these changes are good or bad depends in part upon how we adopt or adapt to them. But ready or not, here they come. Number one, the post office. Get ready to imagine a world without the post office. They're deeply in financial trouble, and there's no probable way to sustain it long term. Email, FedEx, and UPS have just about wiped out the minimum revenue needed to keep the post office alive. Most of your mail today is junk mail and bills. And our post office, now this is here in the United States, but I imagine around the world probably have the same problem. We used to write to people. We still do. But we don't write letters and put 40-cent postage stamps on them. We type out an email and we send the email for nothing over the internet. Now, in the old days, I probably received here at the law school from the mail probably 20 or 30 letters a day. But over the last 25 years, that's turned around altogether. Very rarely do I get a letter in the mail, but I still get 25 or 30 emails a day. So you people are still writing, but you're not sending it with a 45-cent stamp on it. And the post office is missing that 45-cent stamp. And somebody else is getting paid for that email. All right, so if you're in a business and you're dependent upon the post office, get used to the idea the post office is going out of business. And I still use it. I don't need them. I could use UPS, FedEx, Purell Air Courier, and email. I can get by without the post office. I'm still using them because they're there. But if you are running a business and you need the post office, get used to the idea they're not always going to be there. Start making changes right now. The check. You know, you write your checks every week. All right. Well, Britain's already laying the groundwork to do away with checks by 2018. It costs the financial system billions of dollars a year to process these checks. Plastic cards and online transactions will lead to the eventual demise of the check. This plays right into the death of the post office. If you never paid your bills by mail and never received your bills by mail, the post office would have gone out of business long ago. Number three, the newspaper. The younger generation simply doesn't read the newspaper. They certainly don't subscribe to a daily delivered print edition. And that will go the way of the milkman and the laundryman. As for reading the newspaper online, get ready to pay for it. The rise in mobile internet devices and e-readers has caused all of the newspaper and magazine publishers to form an alliance. They have met with Apple, Amazon, and the major cell phone companies to develop a model for paid subscription services. Number four, the book. You say you will never give up the physical book that you hold in your hand and turn the literal pages. And well, I said the same thing about downloading my music from iTunes. I wanted my hard copy CD. But I quickly changed my mind when I discovered that I could get albums for half the price without ever leaving my home to get the latest music. And the same thing is going to happen with books. You can browse a bookstore online and even read a preview chapter before you buy. And the price is less than half of what that real book costs. And think of the convenience. Once you start flicking your fingers on the screen instead of the book, you find that you're lost in the story. Can't wait to see what happens next. And then you forget that you're holding a gadget instead of a book. Now, you know, just looking at that, you know, a prediction for the future. If you stop and think about it, I just told you 30 years ago, I got 20, 30 letters a day from the post office. Today, I still get the same 20 or 30 letters, but they don't come from the post office. They come from the computer, come from the email. So you and I are still going to, we're still going to be out here corresponding. We're just going to do it in a different way. So all of you postal workers out there, you know, put your head between your knees and kiss her goodbye, boys and girls. And I'm not sure that you don't deserve it. The post office has got to be a fat, lazy institution, totally unionized with people that don't want to work and don't want to produce. And probably what's coming down on you, you deserve. But, you know, that's where reality's at. Times are changing. And the same thing is true with a book. Now, my office here is just full of books, and I still use them because I'm old. I still pull a book down, but my boy doesn't. Oh, sorry, Bob. And he goes over there, and he gets it on the computer. Now, to make one of these physical books, you know, takes paper. All right, now you people that are working in the paper mills producing paper to make these physical books, hey, that's not a long-term operation. Where does all this paper go? It goes to newsprint. But the newspapers are folding up. They're going onto the computer. The book business, they're folding up. They're going onto the computer. So if you're in those kind of industries and in those kind of businesses, you know, that gives you a clue as to what's coming down the pike. This is only the tip of the iceberg. This is the good news. But there's some worser news coming up here as I'm progressing along here. But can you see what's happening? Changes. Changes coming. And so dislocations in the employment and in the workplace are coming. Changes are coming in the restaurant, which is across the street from the paper mill or across the street from the factory gate. Let's take a look at number 5, the landline telephone. Unless you have a large family and make a lot of local calls, you don't need it anymore. Most people keep it simply because they've always had it, but you're paying double charges for that extra service. All the cell phone companies will let you call customers using the same cell provider for no charge against your minutes. Hey, I can see that one count. I've still got a landline here. I've had it, you know, here for 30, 40 years. But we also have, nearly everybody here has a handheld cell phone. You know, one you carry on your person. I don't, but, you know, the rest of them around me all do. And now I'm noticing a lot of people, you know, that I'm talking to on the phone, I call them and that number's been disconnected. And then when I call them on their cell phone, oh, yeah, I shut off my landline. I don't use it anyway. And the guy with his personal cell phone, I was talking to a student the other day, was driving up and down his field on his tractor. And I said, well, the reason I called you was I wanted to talk to you about this school. And he says, well, good. Good. He said, I'm out here just driving up and down the field with my tractor, say on. And I talked to him, having a conversation. He's out working. Now, ordinarily, you know, I'd have to catch that guy in the house, you know, after dinner and talk to him. And no, not anymore. You know, I catch him at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I can wake him up, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning. He's got his cell phone right there by the bed. Everywhere the guy goes, he's got his cell phone with him. He's in contact with me and everybody else that he does business with 24/7. And he's not going to have a landline to do that. Now, how's that going to change things? That's going to be dramatic. The music industry is going out of business. This is one of the saddest parts of the change story. The music industry is dying a slow death. Not just because of illegal downloading. It's the lack of innovative new music being given a chance to get to the people who would like to hear it. Greed and corruption is part of the problem. The record labels and the radio conglomerates are simply self-destructing. More than 40% of the music purchased today is catalog items. That means they're traditional music that the public is familiar with, older established artists, and this is also true on the live concert circuit. And to explore this fascinating and disturbing topic further, check out the book Appetite for Self-Destruction by Steve Knopper and the video documentary Before the Music Dies. Television is dying. Television revenues to the networks are down dramatically, not just because of the economy. People are watching TV and movies streamed from their computers. They're not watching television. They're playing games and doing lots of other things that take up the same time that used to be spent watching TV. Prime time shows have degenerated down to something lower than the lowest common denominator. They're just trash, and most people don't watch them. Cable rates are skyrocketing, and commercials run about every 4 minutes. So I say good riddance to most of it. It's time for the cable companies to be put out of our misery and let the people choose what they want to watch online and through Netflix. Number 8. The things that you own, many of the very possessions that we used to own, are still in our lives, but we may not actually own them in the future. They may simply reside in our cloud. Today, your computer has a hard drive, and you store your pictures and music and movies and documents on your hard drive in your computer. Your software is on a CD or DVD, and you can always reinstall it if it needs to be reinstalled. But all of that's changing. Apple, Microsoft, and Google are all finishing up their latest cloud services. And what that means is that when you turn on your computer, the internet will be built into the operating system. So Windows, Google, and Mac OS will be tied straight into the internet. If you click an icon, it'll open something in the internet cloud. And if you save something, it'll be saved in the cloud. And you may pay a monthly subscription fee to the cloud provider. Hey, you're going to have your hard drive is going to be held somewhere else. Now, in this virtual world, you can access your music or your books or whatever you want from your laptop or handheld device. That's the good news. But will you actually own any of this stuff that you put into this cloud on the internet? Or will it all be able to disappear at any moment in a big poof when you fail to pay your monthly bill? Will most of the things in our lives be disposable and whimsical? You know, it makes you want to run to the closet and pull out the photo album and then grab a book from the shelf or open up a CD case and pull out the insert. And number 9, privacy. If there ever was a concept that we can look back on nostalgically, it would be privacy. That's gone. And it's been gone for a long time. There are cameras on the street, in most of the buildings, and even built into your computer and cell phone. But you can be sure that 24/7, they, whoever this mysterious they are, know who you are and where you are, right down to your GPS coordinates and the Google Street View. If you buy something, your habit is put into a zillion profiles, and your ads will change to reflect those habits. And they're going to try to get you to buy something else again and again and again based upon these profiles. So all we will have that can't be changed will be our memories. Now, this number 9, I talk a lot about that in one of my classes, my business school, where we talk about privacy. You know, this privacy is not nearly as whimsical as you might think it is. For instance, do you know President Obama's cell phone number? Do you think you can get President Obama's telephone number? I mean, you can call the White House. But President Obama, you know, he has personal computers and personal gadgets, and he has personal friends, and they can call him and talk to him, but you and I can't. Now, the President of the United States is about the most public person that there is. I mean, this is a guy that's being photographed. I mean, when this guy gets up in the morning, there's people photographing him constantly. I'll bet you that guy has a video camera on him 8 hours a day. And when it isn't a video camera, then there's a White House photographer effect. I saw on TV the other night, there's 3 White House photographers, and they're following him around all the time, shooting pictures, still pictures. I mean, you'd think that guy is, you know, the most public guy in the world, and he has no privacy. Well, that guy's got lots of privacy. Lots of privacy. And he knows how to utilize that privacy. And when he's private, he's pretty private. Now, you know, you got a guy here named Tiger Woods, and he was out here dinging the whores in Las Vegas, and, you know, it finally became public. Just like Bill Clinton, you know, he was dinging the girls under the White House desk, you know, in the Oval Office. But, you know, in the final analysis, you know, it got made public. But you heard about Monica Lewinsky. You think she's the only girl that he was dinging? No. I mean, come on, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. You know, most of it is kept private. Then we don't know, you know, the half of it. And if he'd have minded his P's and Q's, we wouldn't have known any of it. You know, they get careless after a while, and then they don't guard their privacy. But as long as you keep your guard up, all of this information is gathered through 63 sources, boys and girls. And once we identify those sources and you know what and who and where, you know, you can start putting up your privacy guard. It is true, I don't have any control over the pictures they take. I was in a store here the other day, and up behind the counter, they have 6, it was in an antique store is what it was, and they had 6 cameras all over the store taking pictures, and they can watch you, you know, as you're walking around the store. Not that it's going to stop very much shoplifting. I don't think those cameras are near as good as they're all cracked up to be, but, you know, they're watching you walk around the store. And they advertise that. It's right there behind the counter so that you can see other people walking around the store. I can look around the store and, oh, there's where my wife is. Where is that? And she says, down this aisle right here at the end. And I walk down there, and there's my wife. Down there looking around at stuff. Now, I can't control that. I don't need to. I mean, hell, I'm walking around in the store. A store is a public place. Anytime you're in a public place, you can expect that everything that you're doing is being watched by somebody. Either somebody is seeing you with their eyes and you don't see them, or there's a camera on you or something like that. But hey, you know, you don't have to have all of your business transactions broadcast to the world on Facebook or held out for everybody there in the bank. You know, you don't have to go through that scanner in the airport. You don't have to be groped. I'm not complaining about the airline industry. I'm not complaining about the scanners and the groping. Nobody's groping me and nobody's x-raying me. I'm just happy as a clam at high tide. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there for your consideration. Now, those are some changes that are coming. You know, make up your minds to it. And they're going to have some very important effects. This global economy now is going to have some very serious effects. Now, remember, we started today's program with Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. we've got another player here in the game that hasn't been reckoned with. It's the creator of the universe. It's God himself. And this guy, you talk about surveillance now. This guy says he knows how many hairs you have on your head. He says he knows your every thought. He can read your mind. Hey, we're getting to the point where we've got mind-reading devices now, so that used to be science fiction. Taint so much science fiction. You know, we got these machines now. You can strap these machines on, you know, like truth, you know, tellers. And we're gonna put a brain scan on you here, and we're going to find out what you're thinking. Taint science fiction anymore. Well, God has had this technology for a long time, so if you thought that, you know, that you were digging a whore down at Flo's and nobody knew about it, well, God knew about it. Your angel knew about it. You know, those spirit beings, you know, that you can't see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, they can all see everything you're doing. So you're not getting away with anything. Now, they're not broadcasting it on eBay or on Facebook or Twitter or something, you know, but they're noting it down. They got a dossier. And in the judgment, God talks about this judgment. He says he's got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he says there isn't anything that you've done that he isn't going to reveal. Isn't anything that you've thought of or done over here that he isn't going to reveal? Or, you know, if he wants to, he'll keep it locked up for you. So I just thought I'd tell you that, tuck that away in your heart. Now, next time we're going to take up some really hard 19 facts about the deindustrialization of America. That's going to blow your mind. The deindustrialization, next program coming up in the series here, that'll blow your mind. This is not only not sustainable. Remember that little story in there I told you about eating your own children, cannibalism? All right. Now I'm going to show you why this is coming down on us. And it isn't going to be just in America. I mean, you Chinese people over there, you know, you're sitting on top of $3 trillion. But your $3 trillion, you're not going to get paid. You're going to get stiffed. And then you're going to be just as poor as we are. And that comes up next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Meanwhile, let me remind you here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily, worldwide over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.